The PGA Tour presents the fusion of golf, music, sports, and entertainment. Golf Talk America, streaming live on PGATour.com. Follow us today and every day on Twitter at Golf Talk America. Now, the Golf Talk America crew.
And hello once again, everybody. Welcome to Golf Talk America. Tim Matthews with you today, and we've got a very special show. We'll talk a bit about what happened at the Tour Championship, the FedEx Cup, and everything else that happened while Frank was in Atlanta. But Frank is now back at the studios in Nashville. We also have Steve Johnson with Hank Haney Golf joining us here in just a little bit to talk about the President's Cup, which is underway. They're already on the Today Show. So the President's Cup apparently officially has started at Liberty National. It'll be in Jersey City, New Jersey, coming up this week. So all the drama that ended at the FedEx Cup Championship and all the cool things that happened there now gets pushed into the President's Cup. Then maybe a little bit of a break for some of these top players. All right, Frank, I mentioned that you were there at the Tour Championship, and you finally made it back from Atlanta to Nashville. Do you have a good time? Everything good?
Everything was great. We'll get into that in the latter part of the show. Of course, I know you got Steve there, and we want to get Steve on and get rolling with him, and because I know that Steve has no opinions about rulings. And no. All I want to do is bring one thing up, and then I'm going to sit back and have a cup of coffee and let you guys go. The leaf that blew in front of the young man's ball.
Yeah.
Which knocked it.
Another web.com event.
Web.com event. Cost him dearly. This one did. Blew it as he putted. The ball's rolling toward the hole. The leaf blows in front of the ball. The ball hits the leaf and goes offline, misses the putt. And he's assessed a multiple stroke penalty. That's all I got to say, guys.
I mean, I'm with you. Man. All right, let's get into it because we all saw that, or a lot of us did, and Frank described it very. And by the way, the guy then just tapped in his putt. He knew it.
Yeah.
Kind of knocked it offline. He goes, "Oh, so he just tapped in his par. Apparently, a birdie putt. He was supposed to re-putt it and put it back. So that's where the ruling came in. Who would have even known? I wouldn't have. Anyway, Steve Johnson, managing partner with Hank Haney Golf. I guess you've seen the play we're talking about, and we'll get into some other stuff too. What'd you think about that, Steve? We were talking last week with Art Zellinger about Ben Crane and all the USGA rulings. Here's another one that seems to be crazy.
Every week.
That would be a penalty. And here we go again. So your feelings on your beloved USGA, Steve.
Well, that's going to put into effect another 6-month survey of USGA faithful.
Leaf rules.
You know what?
Yeah.
There are so many stupid rules, guys. Come on. Yeah. I mean, I didn't know the rule, and I've been around golf my whole life.
I thought that
first
was
of all,
break of the game.
The kid is, you know, he's hitting a putt, and he misses the putt because of the leaf. He's upset. He knocks it in, and then bada bing, bada bang, he gets the penalty on top of it.
Right.
Insult to injury. It doesn't make sense.
Signed, I mean, it signed the scorecard.
It was a scorecard. Was to make the rules fair, equitable, to speed the game up, to make the rules easier to understand. Now, who's going to understand that rule?
They being on Morning Drive, ask some players that have won tournaments if that had ever happened to them, and the player will go unnamed, but he said, yeah. As a matter of fact, at the Players' Championship, it happened to me, and I just finished, but I'm not giving the money back.
Yeah.
That's too funny.
I would not even know. I mean, again, this just shows you the craziness of USGA rules. Why is it that is a obstacle, if you will, a leaf moving that hits your ball that you're supposed to replace it and get another putt at it, right? No penalty, just replace it. And yet if you land in a old divot in the middle of a fairway, that's just the rub of the lie. If you have a spike mark, that's just the way it is. You can't tap it down. You can, ball mark you can, not a spike. Why do those things go that way? But then if a leaf hits your ball offline, it's not just the rub of the game. And you're just like, oh, well, hit it. And okay, now I got to tap in it. No, you got to replace. It makes no sense. And that's what's crazy about it. I think it's a 4-stroke penalty, right? 2 strokes and then a wrong scorecard.
Yep.
Because they didn't discover it.
Yeah, four-shotter. Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, it's brutal.
It cost him his card.
Yes. I mean, and we talked about that. People trying to make a living, trying to get their living, and keep whatever it is, web.com, PGA Tour, and they're preventing it with these kind of crazy rules. He didn't do anything wrong. He got affected negatively by a leaf, and he thought, well, it's just a break of the game. Let me putt in. And instead of saying, okay, yeah, bad break, they give him four strokes because he didn't put the ball back there.
Wow.
And you're right, Steve. Who would have known that rule? Anyway, okay, so that's that. We'll talk about rules another time, Steve. That's all right. That's all right. We got into
Had to bring it up. It really made – I started to say something bad. It infuriated me. So there.
President's Cup, Steve. We talked about this, and your partner, Hank, still thinking it's going to be a whitewash for the U.S., or has he changed his opinion on that at all? And what is your opinion? You still
no,
think
no.
A
I think
bit closer?
His opinion has gotten stronger. I think he is calling it a done deal. It's over. It's just all they have to do is to the formality of playing the matches.
Yeah.
Giving the cup. The cup is. My son tweeted me a picture of the cup is at Grand Central Station at the train station. Excuse me, at the World Trade Center. They've got a trade station right there underneath the World Trade Center, and the President's Cup's being displayed there. And I asked him if Tiger Woods was there with it, and he said no, he was not. So, I think the U.S., according to Hank, the U.S. is going to just whitewash him, like you say, Tim. But you know what? All I say is 1998. In 1998 is the only year the U.S. lost the President's Cup. We're 9-1-1. Back in 1998, the U.S. had the top four players in the world. Top four players in the world at that time were Tiger Woods, number one, David Duval, number two, Davis Love III, number three, and Mark O'Meara, after winning his two majors at the age of 41, he's number four in the world. And we got absolutely smoked. We got smoked, I think it was 20 to or something like that, 20 and a half to 11 and a half. Just unbelievable whitewashing of the U.S. team that dominated. It was... Gosh, I think it was 20.5 to 11.5. That's what it was.
Wasn't that the year that Mickelson was paired with Tiger out of the chute? First match?
Yeah, Mickelson was 0-2-2 in that cup match. Now, let me give you a couple names of guys. I mean, they had a really tough team, the internationals. Remember a guy named Carlos Franco?
Sure, yeah.
Frank Nobilo? Frank Nobilo was 2-2. They had a guy named Greg Turner. I've never even heard of the guy. He was ranked 68th in the world at the time. He went 2-1-1.
I think I bought a Countess Maritime from him.
Yeah.
Wow. I don't know.
But Jumbo Ozaki was on that team.
Oh, yeah.
So,
really?
I mean,
you're
Hank
right.
Will
why
say,
would
you know,
thought,
the,
yeah.
the international team this year is not... although we've heard of these names because a lot of the guys are playing the U.S. Tour, you know, like the Brandon Graces and Jonathan Vegas, Emiliano Grillo.
Leishman.
And obviously Adam Scott, Jason Day, and the guys, the top players, Oosthuizen, Leishman.
Yeah.
I think the U.S. team is tired. I'm not claiming international victory, but what I am claiming is it will be closer than a whitewash.
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm thinking, too.
I agree.
I think U.S. will win. But I do think it's going to be it's not going to be just a formality. I think the international team will be stronger than people think. And the guys you mentioned even back then that killed the U.S. team in '98, I wouldn't. Yeah, who would have picked the U.S. on that one? I mean,
wasn't
those guys?
Wasn't that the year Nobilo beat Davis? David Duval.
Duval.
David Duval. Yeah.
Did he? Yeah. Well, sure. Apparently, almost everybody. Got beat. And by the way, Steve, you mentioned Tiger being on that team. He's an alternate captain, a co-captain, if you will, of this team, like he was at Ryder Cup. Why is his record not so good in those kind of competitions? I mean, you'd think the competitive part of him and even the military background and pride of his country and all these things would focus him into being a dominant Ryder Cup, President's Cup player, yet his record never shows that.
It doesn't, but you know what? A lot of the matches that he's played, and he played in almost every match, every time he's been on a team, and a lot of the matches are team matches. Remember, there's only one match of the whole weekend that's an individual match. So he's partnering with another player, and it's just like when teams play, the best team in the NFL or the best team in the NBA, the best team in the NBA, those teams get up for it, and everyone that plays Tiger Woods is, first of all, they're trying, their number one hope is let's not get embarrassed. like the Ian Poulters and the guys that got waxed by, who is it, the South African, gosh, he lives here in Dallas. He made a claim about Tiger, and he lost 10-8.
Sabatini.
So it you don't want to get embarrassed by Tiger, but then it brings out the best in a lot of players because they're the big underdog. So
yeah.
I mean, I think if you look at his singles record, and it's not in front of me right now, but I would bet you that he would have a winning record in the singles.
We're talking with Steve Johnson, managing partner with Hank Haney Golf, and if I can step back to the Tour Championship, FedEx Cup Championship, and looking at the President's Cup as well, what are your feelings now about Justin Thomas? Is Justin Thomas where he's properly should be, and we expect to see Justin Thomas not just have a little blip on the screen, great season, and then falter? Do you think Justin will be right where he is or close to where he is for the next decade?
I really do. I mean, he's improved the parts of his game that he needed to improve. I mean, his putting's improved a bunch, Tim. His attitude has improved a bunch. He's known not tossing clubs, and his body language is a lot better. He and his father and his team have really worked hard to improve. Now, he said at his press conference after the Tour Championship, just after he collected the FedEx Cup and the $10 million, that he's going to get with Tiger, he's going to get with Jordan Spieth, and he's going to talk about resetting his goals because those are two guys that have achieved a lot more than him, and they went through the process, and he's always trying to learn. So, I mean, I look for him to be continue to improve. He has the heart of a Curtis Strange. He has the heart of a lion, and you got to admire the kid. I mean, he is... came out really a one-dimensional type player, and he's evolved into, in a very short time, a darn good player.
Steve, have you ever seen or heard a player go down, actually show his list of goals that he had for the season, and go down the list and name them all? I've never seen that.
That was pretty impressive.
Yeah.
That was very impressive. And he reached almost all of the goals. I know he wanted to have as many top tens, half as many top tens as events that he had entered. He missed that by one. There was another stat that he missed by one, but everything else he had achieved. And he set some pretty lofty goals for himself, Frank.
Yeah, they were huge. But I've never seen a player expose those and say, these were my goals for the year, and this is what I hit and what I didn't. Wow. It's impressive.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, Steve, do you think if you're the captain and you're trying to put these teams together and the players together, look at Spieth and Patrick Reed. They were 2-1-1 in the last Ryder Cup. They were very good in the President's Cup. They seem to be a good match between the two of them and their personalities. But you've also got Justin Thomas, who's a great friend of Jordan Spieth, better friend than Patrick Reed off the course. Do you put him with Reed again if you're the captain, or do you stick Justin Thomas and Jordan Spieth together?
You know what? They're putting them in pods, and I don't even think that Jordan Spieth and Justin Thomas are in the same pod, to be honest. There's been rumors of these different little select groups that they're practicing with. When they go out and practice today, I think we'll learn a lot more. You know what? I really don't know if it matters. Jordan Spieth is more worried about getting back to his putting, and I think he's more worried about his game than those guys don't care who they play with, to be honest. And I think the U.S. does have a huge advantage, but they're going to have to go out and perform. I know these guys are tired, Tim.
Sure.
You know, the it's been a long season. They start the next season starts in 9 days.
I know.
The 2017-2018 wraparound season.
They don't even get 2 weeks off.
Well, they do if they want, you know what I'm saying? But yeah, I mean the tour keeps going. You won't see these guys probably for 3 or 4 weeks. I don't think so. Not most of these guys that are playing President's Cup. I don't think you're gonna see these guys.
I imagine we'll see them in October when I'm coming to Dallas. You're going to be in Dallas. I want to hook up with Steve this time when I'm down there for Jordan Spieth's foundation event, family foundation event. It's coming up mid-October.
They'll play in those kind of things.
Yeah, they'll be playing in those things.
Yeah, they'll have fun with that.
And, you know, they've got Tiger's tournament, too. I mean, that's one of the questions. Is Tiger going to play in his tournament this year?
Yeah,
you know, the Hero World Challenge. Who knows?
He said he's hitting 60-yard shots.
I don't know if he's going to play next year or not. Hank thinks he is, but we'll have to see.
Yeah. That's what he said. Last is he's hitting chips and pitches about 60 yards is all he's hitting. So it certainly doesn't seem like he's ready to be play or will be playing in the next 60 days or so. But, you know, we'll see. We'll see what happens with him. All right, Stevie, I know you got to head out because you got lessons and you got other radio obligations and you're just a world traveler. And we're lucky to get you when we can get you.
I mean, Frank, you got to listen in today because SiriusXM at the top of the hour because payback's today for me. I actually went on the air. I was by myself yesterday, and Hank had picked, after 36 holes of the Tour Championship, Hank was on me because I picked Hideki Matsuyama, who flamed out after the first round, after the first hole, actually. Double bogey the first hole. Had three double bogeys on the first 18 holes. He was out of the tournament right at the start. And Hank was writing me about it. And after 36 holes, I said, okay, Hank, you've got 21 guys within six shots. You pick the winner. And he picked Justin Thomas. And Justin Thomas was first loser. He didn't win. And I had a great time replaying the prediction, explaining why it's very difficult to pick on the PGA Tour.
It's impossible.
And today is, I was told that if I criticized Hank's pick, that I was going to get 30 times the abuse today, so it's coming. I'm bracing myself.
Oh, boy. We'll have to listen on SiriusXM. Hank Haney Golf Radio, Steve Johnson and Hank Haney. It's a great show, by the way, and our listeners should jump over there and always take that show
in. Well, this may be my last one. So you may want to listen.
The new co-host of Golf Talk America on PGA.com, Steve Johnson.
Man. Well, guys, I'm looking forward to wearing the flag and waving the flag during the President's Cup, and I hope the U.S. can bring home a victory because we need it.
Well, maybe we'll get you on later this week, too. If you have some more availability, we'll talk to you once I get into the event. Okay?
That sounds great. Thanks, guys.
Perfect. All right. Thanks, Steve. Appreciate it. Steve Johnson, managing partner at Hankini Golf. Right there with us, Mr. Hot Opinion himself.
Boy, he's right. The thing of it is, 99% of the time, the guy's right.
Yeah.
I mean, he really is. And
I like what he has to say.
I got to go back to the Leaf. I got to go back to Leafgate.
Okay. Hang on.
It drove me crazy.
Schauffele. We got to give credit to Schauffele.
Xander Schauffele.
His name.
Yeah.
Did a phenomenal job. Where did that guy come from? Talk about making predictions. I thought of it when you're saying about what he and Hank are predict. Who would have picked that guy's name other than his immediate family? And maybe even some of them.
That's not nice.
Going with Spieth or somebody else. You know? I'm serious. I mean, you got to be honest. He almost didn't even get to that.
Why would you pick him? No rookie has ever won the Tour Championship.
Yes.
Ever,
exactly.
Ever.
And
ever.
Barely got in.
Yeah.
I mean, he was like, he had to, what, he birdied like three of the last four holes at Conway?
You.
I mean, he had finished like, yeah, had a phenomenal
finish at Conway Farm. That Kohler putt on 18 to win.
Oh,
it was definitely a Kohler flush. I mean, that's what I'm going to start calling that instead of a victory lap.
And what a great reaction. Remember how he looked at that? I mean, thank God.
He started laughing.
Because, yes.
God.
Because he said, I was so nervous, my hands were shaking. You can imagine that. This is to win a Tour Championship, a major event, $1.5 million. He also finished
Player
in,
of
what,
the year
and got another
$2 million. Rookie of the year?
Yeah. No, but rookie of the year. But he got like it because everybody forgets that there's a $10 million bonus that the winner of the FedEx Cup gets, but there's a whole pool of money.
Yeah,
he's got $3
million. Yeah.
Well, Schauffele got, I think, was it $1 or $2 more million for his bonus on top of the million? It was like a $3
million
day for
Schauffele. Life changer event.
Oh, my God. Yes. I mean,
you know,
I would still be standing over that putt, Frank, is what I'm saying. I would still be there. Frozen,
solid.
Yeah. Mr. Matthews, you're going to have to hit this ball.
Rigor mortis has set in. You can't even get him into the cremation chamber.
Yeah, yeah. Tears would be streaming down my face.
Get the chainsaw, Bill.
Oh, my God.
Saw off the limbs.
So thank God he made it. I mean, he laughed about it. He'll show that for years and years.
Oh, yeah.
A great memory for him to have because it seemed like a fairly simple putt. It was right center, they said. He hit it firm, and boy, that thing did everything but roll out.
It did.
And if it would have done the lip out, a 360,
oh God,
how awful would that feel? I mean, we feel bad when we do that just in a regular round. Could you imagine with all that on the line if that thing had rolled around and sat on the lip?
He'd have gone to the playoff with you-know-who, and you-know-who would have won it all. You know, it was interesting, too. You-know-who said, I'm a little disappointed I didn't win the Tour Championship.
Yeah.
He just won the FedEx Cup, but he was disappointed because his goal, I guess, was to win that thing.
Sure.
But it was great being there, because it's such an intimate tournament. There's only three players. It's mostly friends and family. Then, of course, all the galleries come out, but where we are in the media center and on the putting green and the practice range and yada yada, you're just up close and personal. And it's almost like a PGA Tour Champions event because you're just with all the guys. I mean, I was standing there with Jordan and Damon Goddard, his strength and fitness guy, and Of course, his caddy came over, Michael, and said, "Hey guys, how you doing?" And it, I mean, it was just like old home week all week there with the Spieth family. It was fun. We hung out at the, one of the tables behind the veranda, and Mrs. Spieth was telling family stories, which I will never repeat. I'm sworn to secrecy, but they were great stories. And it was just a fun week, man. I had a great time. I love that tournament, again, because it's so intimate. Love to be up at the President's Cup this week. The schedule's not working out for us, either one of us, Tim, to be there. But we'll get out and about. Love to go to the Bahamas. Anybody out there wants to sponsor Tim's and my trip to the Bahamas for Tigers event? Oh, my goodness. Those rooms are expensive down there. Very pricey.
No, it's crazy. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's crazy expensive.
Well, we're looking forward to the President's Cup, and of course, it's there's all kinds of different events that go on for and during the week of the President's Cup. That, these guys will have practice rounds. Matter of fact, I think they had them yesterday, and they'll have some more practice rounds.
Yeah, not
today.
Much. I think most of them stayed kind of away. Patrick Reed was out there up bright and early,
was he?
Practicing? Yeah. But a lot of the guys, Justin Thomas, Jordan, a lot of the guys were just exhausted, so they stayed in Manhattan. Justin Thomas went shopping. Of course, you can blister through $10 million pretty quick in Manhattan. You can go to one store, they give things away in blue boxes, and we all know what store that is. And you can spend that quick.
Those guys have been on the Today Show, too. They've had
this
morning. They had both teams, the international team and the U.S. team, on the Today Show with Matt Lauer and everybody, and doing a lot of neat things, and then out in front of Rockefeller Center and hitting some balls. Anyway, so it's a lot of fun and a lot of attention. But you're right. I think this has been from going back to the beginning of the FedEx Cup and the Northern Trust and all the time that these guys have spent on the golf course and traveling and on and on and on. They've got to be worn out. And now they got one more very tense, emotional, suck all your energy out of you event this weekend. And I think then they can finally take a breath and say, okay, and take a little vacation. I think we'll see Spieth and the boys on a yacht somewhere doing the things they do.
Don't blame them.
And they've deserved it. They've worked awfully hard. And I think Jordan was happy. I really give him credit. He's a very competitive guy, as most of the guys in the tour are. But to see his good buddy transcend him, if you will, this year and had a phenomenal year, 6 wins for Thomas and a major and the FedEx Cup championship and probably easily the player of the year.
Oh, sure. No doubt.
And Spieth seems so happy for him, which is great because normally it's and they say the right things, but you can tell right behind the eyes. He wants to choke him. You know, he's like, but he's legitimately happy. And maybe they've got an agreement. Yeah. Hey, if one of us wins the $10 million, party's on me for the next one.
Well, that's what Jordan said.
He knows who's paying for the jet and everything.
No, Jordan said he's going to be buying a lot of dinners.
Yeah,
a lot of dinners. Hey, interestingly enough, I went upstairs after all the players were on the course, the first round of the Tour Championship. They're all on the course, and I went out and walked on to number one and watched Jordan tee off and then came back inside the clubhouse. Went upstairs in the locker room, walked down the hall, and lo and behold, who do I see lying on the bench that you lay on for a chiropractor, you know? Mm-hmm. Lying there with his hat on his chest and his eyes closed is Dr. Troy Van Beezen.
Oh, is he?
He was taking a nap. He was taking a nap.
The only time he got off, too.
Exactly. And he told me, I won't name players, but he said, there's some tired boys. He said, several players are saying, man, I'm beat. I'm exhausted.
Yeah.
And they are.
Yeah. No.
So, but again, it was what an exciting week and a great close to a great season. And, the cream always rises to the top. So,
on Thursday will be the first round of competition for the President's Cup, and it'll start with foursomes that they'll have starting right around noon or so they'll start with that. So it's going to be a lot of – great coverage. I believe NBC has all the, which is explains why they're on the Today Show, has all the President's Cup coverage, but we'll get to see all that. So it's a great culmination, I think, of a great year that the PGA Tour has had and professional golf has had, despite the crazy rulings. And hopefully that'll get taken away, because that's what's bad about it. We don't need to be talking about goofy rulings, because it's been great golf and great, and that should be inspiring people to want to play more golf and get young people in golf. All the things that everybody wants in golf, and it gets taken away by us and other people talking about, oh, can you believe this happened? Then they said that the ball was marked wrong. We don't. I mean, just make it simple, please. I mean, if we can plead and just say everybody knows what we want to do and how easy it is seemingly to be able to do it, and hopefully we'll get there. So that's my little soapbox, but I hope that it happens. And I hope that they lower the age of the Champions Tour. Okay, those are the only two things.
Well, yeah, but that ain't happening.
I'm going to say that ain't happening. I'm going to keep pushing.
45 would be fair. I mean, 45 would be very fair.
That's what I said. That's what I'm saying. 45 is the right.
But it's not happening.
There's too much of a gap. It'll happen, Frank. You watch me. It'll happen. There's too much of a gap. There's too many guys.
Well, yeah.
Too many Justin Leonard type players who can't still compete at 40, 41, 42 on the tour. And now have 7, 8, 9 years, Stankowski's, on and on.
The dead zone.
I have to wait
Call
8 years.
Call it the dead zone.
To get to the champions. By then, they're like, yeah, I've already gotten into another career.
Yeah, you know, 45 to 50 is basically the dead zone.
Yeah, it's like they have other things to do. I can't just keep playing golf and then wait till I turn 50. So that's my thought on that. We'll see.
We understand. It's going to be a great week. Tonight is a big night up there. Another reason I wish I was there, but it just didn't work out, is the Hall of Fame induction ceremonies tonight.
And, yes.
Our friend Meg Mallon from the LPGA Tour, LPGA Legends, will be inducted tonight, along with Reina Ochoa.
Nice.
And let's see, Ian Woosnam and Davis Love, the third. And Longhurst, Mr. Longhurst, who passed away, I guess, in 78. Sports announcer, writer, held the microphone on 16 at the Masters for 10 years. It's going to be a great ceremony. Those Hall of Fame induction ceremonies are great. They're very touching. But congratulations to everybody. And also, you know, congratulations to somebody that we spend a lot of time with at French Lick and the LPGA Legends Tour is Meg Mallon. So congratulations to her. It's going to be cool.
Meg Mallon, known for her hats. Correct?
No, that's Michelle McGann.
Oh, McGann, you're right.
That's right. That was at breakfast this morning that was said to me, and I said, no, Pam. It's Michelle McGann.
It's the double M names that confuse me.
M&M's.
Yeah. I got confused there, but yeah, congratulations. That is going to be kind of neat. That and all this week is a lot of events, and people have to also appreciate that that takes a lot out of the golfers. I mean, they don't have all the time to necessarily just go home and chill. They've got events and things they have to be at and get dressed up and go into Manhattan and do all the things they got to do. So I can imagine it's going to be a long, and that sometimes is the equalizer when it looks like in Hank Haney and other people's opinion, oh, this is just a formality. Sometimes fatigue sets in, your game isn't quite what it is, and a few missed putts here and there, and somebody gets momentum, as Ben Crenshaw will tell you, you change that momentum a little bit, and it can be some amazing things.
Good feeling about this.
So you never,
shaking his finger.
Never know. Yeah. Hey, Frank, I got to ask you one political question before we leave.
Okay, go.
NFL, all the games, all the attention, standing, sitting, doing all that kind of stuff. What are your thoughts on that? And what the president had to say about the players doing it?
There is a time and a place for protest. The reason that we stand and put our hand over our heart, or if we're in the military, we salute the flag during the national anthem, is for all the men and women who have given their life in protection of the freedoms we're afforded in this country, which is the freedom to peacefully protest. Period. End of story. Wrong place. Wrong time. NFL, get with it. Come on. That's not the place to protest. And then to stay in the tunnel and not come out, yet one Pittsburgh Steeler comes out? No, that's just, okay, I understand. And, yes, there are a lot of inequities that occur in this country, and we need to work on that. But there's a time and a place for protest. That is not it. That is respect for the men and women who have died for our freedoms, for our right to protest. So they're protesting the right to protest.
Yeah.
So there you go. I mean, it just makes me madder than a snake. I got to tell you.
I understand.
I can't stand it.
That's the issue for a lot of people is, you have the right to protest.
In fact, the matter is, Tim, you know, I don't disagree with some of those guys and what they're protesting. I mean, we have social issues in this country. Let's work them out. We're all one color in God's eyes, that's for sure, and one race in God's eyes, and that's the human race. Anyway, that my blood boils over that one.
That's
that
good.
Just drives me nuts. You won't see that at the President's Cup. I bet you money.
I don't think.
Who's going to take a knee?
I don't think. And some of the guys have come out and said.
Or NASCAR?
Here's what they feel. Yeah, they can feel that way. But they're like, okay, if you want to do it as far as a protest or make some statement one way or the other, then pick your time to do it. But during the national anthem, to sit as Kaepernick started, sitting on the bench, then he took a knee. And you're saying, but I'm not showing disrespect. You're like, well, then why would you not choose another time or another place to express yourself rather than during
well,
a time when everybody else is standing and honoring the flag? It's incongruous, and it doesn't make it – people understand that even though you explain it, they're still going to say, but you're still doing it. Your actions don't go in with your words. I understand what you're saying, but your actions are showing some disrespect in a lot of people's eyes, and I think they have to understand that.
Well, yeah, and it's, again...
It's the country we live in today, I'm telling you.
Well, it's just crazy. It's not the time nor the place, number one. Number two, when all is said and done in all of this, they've been saying, I say they've been, let me back up. No, not when all is said and done. A couple of individuals have come out and said they're protesting the president's words. Well, that's great. Don't do it during the national anthem because he didn't write it and he didn't die for it. He's serving at the will of the people. Period. He could be voted out. Protest with your vote.
Yeah.
Protest with your vote. Or go have a peaceful protest. Another sidebar here is here in Nashville, Antioch, Tennessee, which is a suburb of Nashville, a very, very diverse church, suffered some tragedy where a gunman went running in and, shot the minister's wife. I mean, a bunch of people were injured. He shot himself. One of the ushers ran out, got a gun, came in and tackled him. He was a hero. He saved a lot of lives. So God bless those families and those people. It's hitting us here in Nashville. It's hitting us everywhere. You know?
Yeah.
So there are other things we need to worry about besides, a knee during the football game. And then there's North Korea. So...
It's another day.
And that's for another show and another day.
Yeah.
But
by the way, next time we have Steve on, I'm going to ask Steve about the NFL protest and
his
thoughts, because he has very strong opinions about and Steve is very into leadership and signs of leadership, coaching and whatnot. And he, of course, does it as a golf instructor and a coach and gets everybody a system. But he's also very opinionated about other coaches and other sports, whether it's NFL coaches, NBA coaches, whatever it might be. So. We'll talk to Steve, see what he thinks. I got a feeling, I know what he might say, but we'll see what he says about this because it's not going away, you know? So, I mean, we'll be talking about this for a while, I guess. I don't know. It just doesn't seem like it will go away. My last final thought on that is athletes sometimes, I think, miss the mark in professional athletes in thinking that their voice, while it's fine to say whatever you want, I think they sometimes are too self-important, thinking that they're doing something and it's going to affect a lot of change. Most people in this country don't relate to pro athletes. They like watching them doing their things and everything else. But to say, okay, all you multimillionaire athletes are now going to say, here's what I feel. I don't think the country in general is going to follow them down whatever road they want to take them down because there's not a relatable factor to them when they want to, whatever the protest might be. It's this way, that way, left, right, doesn't matter. I think athletes sometimes think, well, here's, and for the most part, the average American person isn't swayed by what a very wealthy athlete thinks about something while they protest. Well,
they can't relate.
They can't relate. And go to their $5 million house.
There you go. They cannot relate.
So it's like, so I think they sometimes need to stop thinking that you know, and again, they have a right to do it. Nobody's going to put them in jail for doing it. But I think they oftentimes think of themselves as, wow, look what I can do here. And I can, nobody's, matter of fact, there are people saying that the ratings in the NFL are down from last year and this year, and they've taken polls. A lot of it has to do with the protesting. They did it from last year, so that a lot of it had to do with Kaepernick. It has to do with DirecTV and ESPN and ratings being down, as well as attendance and other things. They showed you today, and people were tearing up their season tickets. They were burning their jerseys. So there are a lot of people that aren't agreeing with the NFL players because they're saying that. They're like, hey, you have a right to say it, but I have a right to not show up in any of your games or not buy.
I didn't watch last night. So we hold season tickets to the Titans, and I'm not going. If you want them, you can have them.
Yeah.
I'm that upset about it because I just feel like we really shouldn't belabor this too much. This is a golf talk show and an entertainment show, but we have to get those opinions out there. They're our opinions. If everybody else can voice theirs. Yeah. Then, I'm going to take a knee during the, I don't know, golly, so frustrating. Hey, by the way, thank you to everybody, all of our listeners, all the folks who download and put up with our shenanigans, or my shenanigans. Tim's the pro. But we really appreciate all our listeners and for this last season on PGA Tour.com And I've got some bad news in regard to the show and Golf Talk America to put out there for everybody that we will be back for the 2017-2018 season. So, sorry, folks, we're still here. Thank goodness. Thank you, PGA Tour, Dave Logue, Jason Boddy, all the folks at PGA Tour Entertainment and PGA Tour Radio for all their support for this show. And to you, Tim, for all the hard work that you do. And we have a lot of fun. I mean, you've taught me a lot, and this has been a lot of fun. This past season has been a learning experience for me. But and all the people that we meet out on the road and all the other broadcasters and writers and anchors.
It's cool. It's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun to do.
It is. Yeah, by the way, Todd Lewis said tell you hello. Talked to Todd this past week. And
good.
He's worn out. He said, Frank, I'm worn out. He said, I feel like I'm playing every week.
People think golf is not a physical sport. I'm telling you, it's grueling.
It's grueling. Just the stress of waiting for the beverage cart to come back around is brutal.
Takes up so much time.
It really does. It really does. Right. Got to be a good week.
Well, we're good.
President's
Cup. Yep. And we'll be back later this week to give you some more. Again, they start on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and we'll be back with you to update you. Yes.
Our man Bob Bupka will be reporting live from the President's Cup for Golf Talk America.
There we go. We'll be talking to him in a couple of days. All right. For Steve Johnson and Frank Bassett, I'm Tim Matthews. Thanks, everybody, for listening to us. Join us next time right here on Golf Talk America.